Good morning.
Good morning.
It's really good to be with you today. We had a good night last night, and Sunday school was good, so we're trusting the Lord for this service as well. But we're really excited to be in your church and to share with you some of the things that God has done over the past few years. It was early morning, and I took a wooden stake in one hand and a hammer in the other, and I went out into our yard to make a declaration. Now, it wasn't the first time that I had done this. In fact, every morning I had gotten up and I'd gone out into our yard to spend time in prayer. But today I wanted to do something in a tangible way, following the teaching of College of Prayer International, using a wooden stake with a reference to a psalm written on it. I was going to drive this into the ground, and I was going to make this declaration: Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord of that little corner of southwestern France where we live. I believe that he is Lord of the entire nation of France, and I wanted to make that declaration. And yet, what I didn't anticipate was just how hard it was going to be. You know, in southwestern France, we grow sunflowers and lavender and all kinds of other things. But we also grow rocks. And in our yard, we had some pretty good ones. And so it wasn't very easy to get this stake of wood into the ground. As an Alliance family of churches, our goal is gospel access for all people. We want everyone to hear the good news of Jesus and have an opportunity to respond to him. It's a reflection of God's heart, isn't it? I mean, God's heart is for all people. When you look in the scripture and you open the Bible in Genesis chapter 12, there's this promise to Abraham that he is going to bless all nations through him. And then going to the end of the scripture, to Revelation chapter 7, there's this incredibly beautiful picture of the Lamb of God seated on the throne and representatives of all nations, tribes, tongues, and cultures gathered around him, worshiping the Lamb. The key, the heart of the scripture, is Jesus, Messiah, sent for all nations, for all people. He died for all people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son for all people. And yet, I don't know if you realize this or not, but in our world today, there are at least 4,000 people groups. 4,000 people groups, that's thousands and thousands of people who have no access to the gospel. I mean, this morning, as you came to worship here, how many churches did you pass? There are some communities in the world today where there's not even one church, where there's not even one witness to the good news of Jesus. I like the illustration of our president, the president of the Alliance, John Stumbo, when he talks about knocking on doors. And he says that if you knock here in the U.S., depending on the region of the country, you can, every 15 minutes, knock on a door, a half dozen doors. Within an hour and a half, you will meet someone who knows Jesus and is a follower of Jesus. But then if you go to postmodern, post-Christian Europe, every 15 minutes, knocking on a door, it'll take you about a day and a half to find someone who's a follower of Jesus. But then, if you move south into North Africa, every 15 minutes, 8 hours a day, 365 days a year, for 3 years, before you encounter someone who has faith in Jesus. You know, taking the gospel to some of these areas of the world will not be easy. It will be like driving a stake into unresponsive ground. On that day when I was pounding this piece of wood into the ground, I decided to go inside and get a pitcher of water and soak the ground, get it really wet. I came back out and I started hammering again, and still it wasn't going in very well. It was starting to splinter. It was starting to fall apart. And I began to pray, "Father, please help me to get this stake of wood into the ground." Finally, I could barely see the top of that stake of wood. Kneeling on the ground, looking at the splinters in the mud, I sensed the voice of God speaking to me. "This is what it will be like to reach a proudly secular, postmodern, post-Christian nation with the message of the gospel. It will take effort. It will take determination. It will at times be disappointing. It will require brokenness, But as my spirit waters this ground, as my people remain faithful in prayer, and as the word of God is held out to this nation, Jesus' promise will be fulfilled. Jesus' promise. I will build my church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it on discouraging days. I love to hear that promise. Where Jesus didn't say, it just might happen. You know, we're having a hard time here, aren't we? Well, maybe we're not going to be able to make it in France. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he is building his church in France. For 27 years, going on 28, Tina and I have been working in France. We have prayed for revival in the church. We have sought to bring the gospel to our friends and our neighbors. And as we've returned to the U.S. to speak to you, the U.S. church, we've come back with a song. And it's all found in the scripture in Psalm 126. It's a song about harvest. The name of our church is Église Protestante Internationale, which is a lot to say. So we call our church EPI, E-P-I. It's a French word for a stalk of grain, a symbol of the harvest. The name of our project is Harvest Promise to Lose. And the name of our weekly prayer update is Harvest Promise to Lose. Everything we do is focusing on the harvest that is coming. So Psalm 126, listen as Tina reads this passage to you.
When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him.
I don't know if you noticed that in that psalm, in verses 2 and 3, the psalmist says the same thing twice. First of all, it's the nations looking at the people of God. And the nations are saying, the Lord has done great things for them. Isn't this what we want to happen among our neighbors and our friends and our family members and our co-workers? That they look at our life and they see the activity of a living God. And they say, the Lord has done great things for them. When I think about people fleeing their country for safety, crossing nations, taking months, years to find a place of safety, and arriving in a country where they're welcomed by a compassionate church. And they say, the Lord, their God, has done great things for them. We want to know this God. Let's make the nations hungry and thirsty for Jesus. Amen. The psalmist goes on in verse 3. And it's the people of God who are speaking. The Lord has done great things for us. Has the Lord done great things for you? Yes. Good. I'm glad to hear that. So often in our lives, we live as if we don't need him. And then God shows up. He shows up in a conversation that we have with somebody. We're talking to somebody about Jesus, and we say something, and we're just as amazed as they are because the Holy Spirit has given us just the word needed. Oh, and God answers prayer. The Lord has done great things for us. And as we come to you today, the reason why we're here is not to lift us up. It's not for you to say afterwards, wow, that old guy and his lovely wife, they're really amazing people. That's not what we want. We want you to understand that the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. In verses 5 and 6, at the conclusion of this psalm, it's when the harvest has come, and all those years of weeping and of toil and of disappointment replaced by joy, celebration at what the Lord of the harvest has done. So today, we're going to share with you some stories that hopefully will help you to see why we are glad.
How do you take a bunch of English-speaking women in a French-speaking church and reach the French community around the church? God gave us an idea, English Cafe. And so we invited women who wanted to practice their English to come in for a cup of coffee, some cake, and to talk around a theme that we had chosen. We had no idea who would show up, but God brought in a motley mix of women. We had a Tunisian airline pilot who was going through a painful divorce. We had a French woman from a rough background who was a country singer and taught line dancing. We had an anthropologist, author, who had worked many years for the World Bank in Burkina Faso and was back in France. We had a wealthy woman, French woman married to a Syrian man. She lived half of the year in Abu Dhabi, and the other half she stayed and took care of her grandson in our community. We had a Tunisian Muslim married to an Irish Catholic. Interesting combination. We had a ceramic artist. We had a Ukrainian pastor's daughter. A volleyball player, professional, atheist from Tajikistan. We had French women who were there because they couldn't find jobs and they wanted to get their English up to snuff. We had most of the women, a good many of the women, who had a very bad self-image. The women who came into this church for this English club did not expect the welcome that they got. They did not expect the love and affirmation that they got, because the French culture doesn't tend to be very affirming and encouraging. And they certainly did not expect to hear about God, because one does not talk about God in public in France. That's a very private matter. But God gave us opportunities to talk about him in very natural ways. Like the time that a woman came for the first time, and as she was sitting in the circle, she looked around the church and she said to us in the circle, "Can just anybody come to this church? What's it like?" And so those of us who are from the church began to tell her what a worship service was like. And someone said, "Well, Tina leads worship." And then somebody else said, "Oh, sing us a song, Tina." I didn't want to sing a song by myself. Well, wouldn't you know that that very day, a colleague, Marcy, just happened. That one and only time to have brought her guitar for a practice afterwards. And wouldn't you know that I had just happened to leave the music out and hadn't put it away yet. And so I ran and got the music. Marcy went and got her guitar. And we sang this song. Béni soit ton nom, là où tu donnes l'abondance et déverses ta bienveillance. Béni soit ton nom. You know that one? Blessed be your name. Well, for those women, that was like the first time that they had ever heard someone sing about God in such a personal way. And they were touched by that. In October, October a year ago, God brought a team from California to help us put on an outreach event that we called the California Cafe. This was to be a time, like a cultural event, for people to come and experience SoCal foods, California music, which for many of them meant Beach Boys, and California culture. So we were going to play games and have the food and maybe a karaoke and just have a fun time. We gave out invitations. We had no idea how many people would come. Usually things aren't very well attended when you try events. Well, 100 people showed up. The majority of them were unchurched. We couldn't even let people from our church come who weren't directly involved because we didn't have room. That night was a really fun night where there were a lot of opportunities for God conversations. And one of those conversations was with a woman named Siam, this airline pilot whose husband had left her. She was devastated, and she stayed afterwards talking with several of the believers and weeping. The comfort that she found with those few people then led her to continue to come regularly to the English Cafe. As she came, we took the opportunity to go out for lunch together with other people, and we talk about God. We go for walks in the forest, and we talk about God. We encouraged her to pray and to read the Bible, and she began to pray and read the Bible. And God has been working in her heart. And today, the latest news from her is that she is very close to receiving the Lord. She has to get over this hurdle of believing, it's a big hurdle, that Jesus is the Son of God, but she desires to know God. So I encourage you to pray for this woman. God is working through the English Cafe.
Back in my yard, early morning, in prayer. Father, you know that we need at least 80,000 euros for the down payment of this building. 80,000 euros is more than $80,000. The church that we have been leading started in 2000 with evangelism and discipleship. In 2008, we formed with 19 official members. A year later, we moved into a facility that was completely, when we rented it, it was just a shell. There was nothing to it. Well, there was a roof over our heads and walls, but we had to do everything else to get it ready. And we spent 50,000 euros to get it ready for our first service that was in March, the beginning of March 2009. And we were so excited because our 80 chairs and our two small Sunday school rooms that you could hear everything through the rooms, and when somebody flushed the toilet, you heard it in the middle of the message. We were so excited because on that day when we had our first service, we were opening the doors to the first new church in our community in 700 years. Pretty cool, huh? And we thought, wow, this is really great. We have 80 chairs. This is cool, Lord. This will last for a while. But God... because the church began to grow. So within that first year, the church was beginning to, we thought 80 chairs wasn't going to be enough. And so, just before we left for our home assignment in 2010, the church rented the unit right next door, totally empty shell, had to be redone, everything. They did that during our time in the U.S., and when we returned, we found a room with 120 chairs, no more walls for Sunday school rooms because everything had been moved over to the other side. Three Sunday school rooms, large rooms with the kitchen and a permanent prayer room. Well, we were so excited. I mean, we'd spent 100,000 euros and we said, we need to buy this. It's obvious. We were excited because I've been asking God for 80,000 euros. We had 30,000. And so we signed a promise to buy and we went to the banks and... You know, banks think they're the lords of the earth. They think they have all the money in the world and the control of all the money. So when they looked at our little down payment, they said, well, that's not enough. They weren't impressed with our faith. They wanted more. So I began to pray, Father, we need 50,000 euros, 50,000 euros in order to have this down payment. Every day asking the Lord for this amount. We kept renewing the promise to buy every 3 months. After a year, the church board said, this is getting kind of embarrassing. We still don't have the money to do this. We're just going to have to wait. I was so disappointed. I was crushed. That was in the spring of 2014. Still asking the Lord, Father, you know, we need 50,000 euros. We need 50,000 euros.
Not announcing it.
Not announcing it, no. September arrives. An email in my inbox from our church treasurer. Hi, Brad. We've received a check for 50,000 euros for the building fund, which I'm banking today, and the source is confidential, even to you. I thought this would brighten your day. Like my life, not just my day. At long last, God had answered this long-standing prayer, and we went back and signed another promise to buy. And you know the cool thing that day? There were two brothers that had built the complex of 12 units. One of the brothers said to us that he and his children had just recently been baptized. We'd been praying for him for 7 years. And in addition, when we went to the banks, two banks wanted to give us a mortgage so we could choose between the two which one we wanted to go with. And in addition, interest rates were lower than they had been in years. So that, 2015, September 16th, the two units officially belong to us. God honors perseverance.
When Sabel was a child, she loved the morning prayer and the opening song in the Catholic school that she attended. But she didn't make the sign of the cross like the other children did, because back at home, her family in Senegal were Muslim, as they had been for generations. And so Sabel went through all of her primary school and high school in this Catholic school, with Jesus on the cross looking down on her from above the blackboard. And when she finished school in Senegal, she went to Paris to attend university. There she met a young man, Dunya, and fell in love with him. But there was a problem, because Dunya was from a Catholic family, a good French man. Would her parents allow them to get married? They went to see the parents, and fortunately, Dunya's father was from Guinea, which was her parents' home country, and Dunya's name is a Muslim name, and so, miraculously, her parents agreed to the marriage. They were married and began the life on the fast track to get successful, to get rich, to have great careers. Twice tragedy came and shook Sabel's world. The first time was a year after their marriage, when her beloved mother passed away from cancer. Sabel was devastated. Her mother had been a practicing Muslim, and so Sabel thought, in order to get closer to her and to find comfort, she would begin practicing very religiously the Muslim faith. But what she found was that it was hard, and it didn't bring her any satisfaction. It was just a lot of rules. And so she drifted away from it. After a while, she was offered a prestigious post in Morocco. And so she and Dunya went there. And once again, she was really making big money. Every need was met. She was mingling with bankers and with successful, wealthy people, staying in great hotels, traveling first class. She had it made. Her father, who was her greatest supporter, came for a visit. And one day, he died suddenly in her living room. Once again, her world came crashing down. She was devastated, and she said, "I can't stay here. What's the use?" So they moved back to Paris. And she thought, "I have to find comfort somehow." She was brokenhearted, so she turned again to the Muslim faith, once again to no avail. She didn't find any comfort in the rules and the strictness of Islam. Two children, resuming a successful career, they had everything to make them happy. She was very successful in her career, Dunya as well, but there was a void in her life, and she didn't know what could fill it. It wasn't the Islam faith, and so she had an idea. This is an idea that sometimes comes to us as women. She went shopping. She thought, "Okay, I'll buy a new wardrobe every season. we'll get a more beautiful apartment. That'll make me happy. We'll go to great restaurants. That'll make us feel good. We'll travel first class. Then we'll feel great. I'll be happy. Everything will be great. But it didn't satisfy. It didn't satisfy. She knew that material things wouldn't fill that longing in her heart for something more. And then she had another idea. Aha! I know what we'll do. We'll leave this rat race in Paris and we'll move south to Toulouse, where it's warm, where life is a bit calmer. We'll find happiness there. And so they packed up their things and they moved to Toulouse. And once again, things were great. The kids were in good schools. She got a great job. Dunya had a great job, making a lot of money. They met nice people. But her life was still empty. And this time she realized that the only thing that would fill her heart and the emptiness inside of her was God. But who's God? She tried Islam, and she knew that that didn't satisfy her. She'd grown up in a Catholic school, and she thought that that was just a bunch of rules, too. Where could she turn? Fortunately, she didn't know about the fat Buddha. A friend gave her a book by an Iraqi soldier who had come to faith in Christ, and it spoke deeply to her. It made her long even more to know Jesus. And then a co-worker invited her to his church to come to something called the Alpha Course. And his church was the Église Protestante Internationale, EPI. Protestant, she thought. I've heard of them. Maybe I can find God there. I don't think they have all the rules of the other religions. And so even before the Alpha Course started, she and her husband and their children came to a worship service at EPI. We were a bit nervous. You know how when you have visitors, you don't know how they're going to be. Afterwards, I went up to her and I said, "So, Sabelle, what did you think?" And she said, "We feel like we're floating." It was the first time that they had ever encountered the Spirit of God. And they were deeply touched. But it wasn't the last time, because they went on the Alpha Course, and both she and Dunya gave their lives to Christ. And every time the church doors were open, they were there. Anytime there was a Bible study, a prayer meeting, they were there. They were hungry and thirsty to know Jesus, hungry for the Word of God, so much so that when her contract expired and came up for renewal, she decided not to even go back to work because she didn't really have to work. She wanted to spend her time in the Word. She wanted to spend her time with believers. She wanted to spend her time with her children. And so they grew and were discipled in our church. And then the Lord gave them what had been a desire they'd had for many years in their life, one that He had prevented from happening so they could come to Christ. They got their visa to come to the promised land, America. No, they got their visa to move to America. And so Dunya's work gave them a contract, and they are living in Rochester Hills, which is outside of Detroit, a very nice area, where they're involved in a church and following the Lord and seeking to grow in Him. The story's not over yet. God has taken this woman from Senegal to Paris to Morocco to Toulouse to Michigan. He has His hand on her, and it's a story that's not finished yet of God's mighty working in the life of a Muslim woman.
That's awesome.
This morning I heard Dunya's voice at Jim and Jane's house, because he's part of a daily podcast that we have that comes out of our church. Four readers, Dunya and Sabelle, are two of the four readers, the vision of Martin, one of our elders, to bring the scripture to French people. 80% of French people have never held or read the Bible. And so the whole goal of this podcast is to read the Bible in French 365 days a year. We're in our third year. And we're already, it's being used on a radio station in Gabon, West Africa, and our desire is it will also be used in North Africa. If gospel access is needed for all people in order to complete the Great Commission, we're going to have to move away from outsiders like the two of us coming into a culture to bring... to bring the gospel to a strong... Oh, well, there it is. Sometimes this doesn't always work. to bring a strong network of churches and leaders and pastors. And so for the past 30 years, there has been a French alliance. The French alliance has over 30 churches. Our desire is to see more pastors and leaders trained. So more and more, that's where Tina and I are giving our attention. When we return to France, that's what we'll be doing after we transition out of our church. But I'd like to tell you about some of the leaders that we have leading our congregation this year. These three men are my friends. I have more than three friends, but at least I have these three. The two guys on the ends are English, and the one in the middle, the two guys on the ends are English, and they're elders, and the one in the middle is French. His name is Bruno, and notice he is not wearing a beret. Bruno is our youth leader, and he, to describe his life as a teen and his early 20s, he would say that he was a rebel. He was raised in an evangelical family. 1% of 66 million French people are evangelical believers. The lowest church attendance in all of Europe. And yet, here's this guy raised in this evangelical family who has to discover faith for himself. And so he goes through a very difficult time, and he meets the Lord, and the Lord meets him at this time. He and his wife, young wife and daughter, came to our church in 2011. At that point, he was the drummer in a Christian band in Toulouse. He learned that we needed a youth leader, and so he volunteered. And then he discovered that our youth group was made up of junior high students. Cool. Not always easy. Lots of ideas on his part, and so he needed someone to come alongside him, and that began a mentoring relationship between the two of us that continues to this day. In autumn of 2014, we were very concerned about the six young people in our youth group because they were possibly the only believers in their school. And so we wanted to see them take a stand for Jesus early on. In France, baptism happens when you're 18. Why wait? These kids needed to take a stand early on. So we began to pray that God would speak to them, and we began to trust the Lord for baptisms among our young people. Bruno began talking about it the first night. One of the young guys said that he wanted to be baptized. And over the next few months, others stepped forward, so much so that in May of 2015, Bruno and I baptized three of our young teens just before we left for our home assignment. That was such an incredible day. Tremendous. You know, driving that wooden stake into the ground wasn't easy, but it did eventually penetrate that hard soil. Making the gospel known to the world and to hard places may not always be that easy. But all people need to know that Jesus Christ is Lord and come to know him as their Savior and Lord. Our goal as an Alliance family of churches is to complete the Great Commission. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? Not just us. How are we going to do that? Well, first of all, what I want to encourage you to do is to pray. First thing, to pray. The Alliance is focusing on 70, already focusing on 70 of these 4,000 people groups. Seven large areas of the world there. You can find how to pray for them on the Alliance website. We have some cards on our back table. You can pray for us. Please pray for us. We send out a prayer update every week with stories, the stories that we shared today. The people in our prayer team prayed for those people. They had a part in what God did. There are stories, there are specific prayer requests. You can sign up for it today on the table in the back. You can also give. Give to the Great Commission Fund. It's over and above what you give to your local congregation, your tithes and offerings. As you give, you send. You send workers around the world. But also, hey, you know, I pray on a regular basis, Lord of the harvest, send out workers. So often we look at young people and we say, hey, is God calling you? And the rest of us feel like, oh, good, we're off the hook. Guess what? I'm not just looking at young people. I'm looking at people of every age. Because the Lord of the harvest sends out people no matter how old or how young they are. Maybe God's going to send you for a short term or for a longer period of time. He's only looking for willingness. Why not? Tina and I have been working in France for 27, going on 28 years. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. And I hope that you've seen some of those things this morning. But I also hope that you will take a look at your own life and see what the Lord has done for you. And be part of what God is doing in this community, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your school, in your family, in this church. Because gospel access for all peoples, that's our job. All of us, as the body of Christ. I'd like to pray for you. Father, I thank you so much for this church. Wow, it's been so good to meet people here and to hear their stories. You are a God of grace. So filled with grace. Lord Jesus, thank you for the transformed lives that are represented in this room today. Lord, you are amazing. And so, Father, I pray your blessing on this church. Bless this congregation and use these transformed people to bring the good news to this community so that other people will be transformed and far beyond this community, throughout the state, throughout this country, throughout the world. Lord Jesus, thank you that you sent all of us to make disciples of all nations. Lord Jesus, use this church in greater ways than they have ever even imagined. For your sake, Jesus. Amen.
Would you stand? We're going to be dismissed in a moment. I'm going to pray. But I'd like Tina and Brad to meet you in the back. So they'll greet you. You can greet them on your way out. Some of you will not need reminders to pray for France. We see it on the news all the time, right? My wife, Connie, her perfume is from France. Some of you ladies have perfume from France. You might have a purse or a pair of shoes or candy or something, but there's all kinds of reminders about France to be praying for them. I want to thank Brad and Tina for being here with us these couple of days. Thank you, Father, for your presence. As we leave this place, let us breathe in your presence and live in the conscious awareness of who you are, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're dismissed.